plans for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
Welcome inside the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, John Ledyard, from over at fanragsports.com. And we've got a victory to talk about today. Not only a victory, but an important victory, both for the Steelers' record and the overall direction of the team. After a dismal loss last week to Jacksonville, but also in the AFC playoff race, to be honest. I mean, the Chiefs looking like an obvious candidate for one of the top two seeds at this point. The rest of the AFC is pretty bad right now. Obviously, I would expect New England to emerge. They got a little bit lucky against the Jets, and you know, I've kind of gotten a little bit lucky this season, only be 4-2, but expect them to emerge at some point, and the Steelers, you'd like to think that this is a step in the right direction to emerging as one of those top three teams as well in the AFC. But so far, it's been a mixed bag for Pittsburgh, so this was a very important game. And I don't know how you can't come out of this one really impressed with a couple of things that they did. We'll talk about the positives first. I know you guys always get on me because I'm not like, oh, you know, this is it. The Steelers are going to win out now that they've hit their stride. This game represented some very, very real concerns that could honestly, you know, they could derail Pittsburgh the rest of the way if they don't get it fixed. But also, it represented tons of reason for optimism and hope. Obviously, the running game being a big part of that. And not just Le'Veon Bell, but the offensive line playing at a high level without Gilbert, without Foster for most of this game. I thought that was one of the key, obviously one of the keys to victory, but it was also the way Todd Haley called the game. You know, relying on the run on early downs, getting into manageable second downs, not getting away from the run on second and sevens and second and eights, but sticking with it, trusting what you'd seen on tape, which was that the Chiefs were vulnerable against the run, that their linebackers weren't what they used to be. Derek Johnson isn't what he used to be. Taking advantage of that with plenty of concepts outside of the box. You know, you saw counter after counter after counter and pin and pulls on the outside, and you saw a ton of outside stretch plays that really tested Kansas City's ability to get out and move in space and to be able to fill out there. So you can't help but be impressed with the way Pittsburgh ran the ball, but it was also the scheme. Todd Haley deserves a big pat on the back, I think, for what he did in designing this game plan and the way that he got Le'Veon Bell jump-started, the way that he got that offense going, and the commitment to the run, even when, I mean, Kansas City had their plays, obviously. You know, they shot down the Steelers at times. You know, they stopped drives when they needed to, and they stepped up in their own territory. And I think the not to panic and not to get out ahead of themselves and to continue to stick with it, I thought was pretty huge, because I don't think we're at the point where Ben's going to just put this team on his back and throw 50 times and get him a victory, especially on the road against a quality team anymore. So that was imperative that Pittsburgh was able to run the ball better. They did it. I don't think it's an aberration. I think this team can consistently run the ball well. It's about sticking to it. It's about volume. That has been the biggest thing. You know, Le'Veon Bell, he got 179 yards. Yes, it took him 32 carries to get it. That's always how he's been. It's not that he's ever going to have a bad yard per carry average. It's just that he's never going to be that guy that gets 179 yards on 17 carries or something like that. He's not a 40 plus run, you know, guy. That's never who he's been. So don't ask him to be that. Ask him to be who he is. And right now, he's a workhorse. He doesn't wear down as the game goes on. He gets stronger with each carry. He is incredibly tough to bring down. Defenses have to come at him the entire game, and it just presents challenges. When they've been productive on the ground this season, you go back to even Minnesota, it wasn't a great yard per carry average, but they stuck with it. He had 27 carries, 87 yards. You knew that was going to be a grinded out game. You knew you weren't going to bust any big ones. 11 was his longest carry, but he consistently gained positive yards and put him in manageable first or second and third down situations when he was given the opportunity to. Then, obviously, Baltimore, 35 carries, 144 yards, just over 4 yards a carry is the average, but it was effective against a good Baltimore run defense, even though they were banged up in that game. You know, scored twice in that contest. You know, that was the type of performance from Le'Veon Bell that you're looking for. When he's been under that, 15 carries in the loss to Chicago, 15 carries in the loss to Jacksonville, 10 carries in the week one debacle that they managed to pull out against Cleveland, including, I think, four in the first half of that game. Several late in the game when Cleveland knew they were running to try and run the clock down into a loaded box. So that skews things. But when that's happened, that's when I think things get a little hairy for the Steelers. He's got to be given the ball in a heavy workload. He can handle it. He doesn't wear down. He's in incredible shape. 32 carries, 179 yards, average 5.6 yards per carry. Had a long of 27 in that game. Didn't do much as a receiver. We know that he's done more actually in every game this season so far before this one. And so I'm not concerned about him in that capacity. But if you're giving him the ball on the ground, he's doing work like that. It just makes everything so much easier for the offense, for the rest of the offense. Ben doesn't feel like he has to carry the load. The Steelers don't feel like they have to hit a big play every second. They're driving. They're churning yardage out. It's just great stuff. It's exactly what Pittsburgh's offense needs to be built around right now. I'm not saying they can't throw the ball. I'm just saying that if it's the primary method of offensive production, I don't think it's going to be sustainable against quality teams on the road. But Ben was good. Ben was efficient in this game. He was mostly very good. The interception was not his fault. I thought that was Antonio Brown should have kept running on the slant. I'm not sure why he stopped. You could see him blame himself on the broadcast. He told Ben it was his fault. I don't know what happened there, exactly what he saw and why he, slant flat concept. It seems pretty self-explanatory to me. I'm not sure why he stopped. Maybe we'll get a comment about it this week, or maybe it's already out there and I missed it. But Brown was splendid throughout the rest of the game. Obviously, I mean, he made the play of the game. The Steelers couldn't get any finishes on offense in the second half. I thought they were way too conservative inside Chiefs territory twice. They don't go for it on fourth and one. They don't go for it on fourth and two. Fourth and inches, really, the first time. I thought they were too conservative. It's one thing to have trust in your defense balling out, but if you really trust them, go for it and trust that they can defend what, is still a 60-yard field to get to the end zone at that point or more. So I thought they should have gone for it in both of those situations, or at least one of those situations, in the second one, depending on how the first one went. But also Le'Veon Bell needs to know where the sticks are. Antonio Brown needs to know where the sticks are, and those were mistakes. I know Brown's was tough because he got kind of upended and it was hard for them to spot the ball. And I thought he was closer to the marker than they made it on a fourth and two there. But Bell, you got to pick up that first down. You got to keep that drive, sustaining that drive. And then I think as coaches, you got to go for it. Tomlin talks all the time about not living in his fears. He lived in his fears in this game, and it almost came back to bite him. Alex Smith missed the touchdown. Artie Burns blew the coverage on. There were some legitimate chances the Chiefs had to change his game. If Andy Reid kicks that field goal, which he should have, it's a totally different ballgame. Then the Chiefs only need to get in a field goal range there at the end to tie the game. And so the Steelers, if you think the Steelers won this game and didn't get somewhat lucky to pull it out at the end, you didn't watch the game, or you watched it through fan blinders, because that's the only way you can watch it. The Steelers 100% got lucky at the end of this game. Now, it doesn't say they did enough to win the game earlier in the contest, except in the red zone and finishing drives. I thought that was the biggest, to have the kind of production they had, 440 yards of offense and only have 17 points on offense, is just not good enough with this group. It's not close to good enough, and if you take away the AB touchdown, because it should have been an interception, you're talking about 10 points and, 51 yet less yards of offense. You're still talking about like 390 yards of offense and only 10 offensive points. That just is not good enough. That's not an acceptable number. This offense is still not finishing drives the way that they should. Throwing on first and goal from the three when they're running the ball the way that they are. Just overthinking it, man. Just run the football. You're having a ton of success with it. Run it on first down. Run it on second down. Run it on third down. I love Todd Haley, and I think his game plan was great in this game. I just don't understand the overthinking it there. I'm just not on board with it. But at the same time, the offense moved the ball and looked smoother and more in sync, not totally in sync, but more in sync than they had at any other point this season. Obviously, quality opponent. I think the Chiefs defense is good. I don't think it's great. I thought Ben was very good outside of that one throw, which we will come back to and talk about. But I think that the main thing in this game, if you want to know why Pittsburgh won, it's Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown were special. They were special, and they've got to be special probably for this offense to reach its peak. I think if they continue to play at the level they played at, then they're going to score more than 19 points in a game. I think the Steelers could figure things out in the red zone. Now, they've been bad in the red zone on the offense and defensive side of the ball. The real story in this game to me is the defense and the red zone stand that they did make. Sean Davis breaking up that pass on fourth down when the Chiefs were down there. The Chiefs should have kicked the field goal. They obviously should have kicked the field goal. I have no idea what Andy Reid's thinking. It was a really, really silly decision. It probably cost them a shot to tie or win the game even. He deserves criticism for that, as great as he's been this season. But nevertheless, Steelers rose up in the situation. You know, they easily could have wilted on that fourth down. They rose up in the situation, made the play, stripped Demetrius Harris, or knocked the ball away from him in the end zone. Just a terrific play by Sean Davis. And Tyler Matakevich came in for Vince Williams there on second down and had two nice plays as well. He was involved in that pass breakup as well, made things really tough for the Chiefs tight end. So I thought that was a consistently positive part of the defensive game plan, the ability to contest throws. I thought that Marty Burns did a good job of that early on in the game. We'll get to the failures late in the game. I thought that was a big positive. You know, the guys were closing on the ball. They were seeing it well on the back end. You know, they were doing good things when the ball was in the air. They were challenging the Chiefs receivers. They weren't letting them get comfortable in space. And that's where the Chiefs have really thrived. The Steelers team speed showed up in this game. That was one of the biggest reasons they stopped the run, because Kareem Hunt still broke tackles, but there were just so many guys flying to the football. They were getting such a good push up front. When he first got contacted, it was a yard or two deep. And then by the time he was brought down, he gains maybe a yard or two, but you're still not giving up any type of big chunk play because you're flying to the football and you're feeling well. So I think that he did get away. You know, he did make some things happen by breaking tackles, but when you finish 9 carries for 21 yards and you're the leading rusher in the NFL, I think that, and you've had the kind of success Hunt's had over the first couple weeks, just running through everybody. It was a huge hats off to the Steelers run defense. And we've said this all along, the run defense is there talent wise. It's not a talent issue whatsoever. It's a scheme and execution issue. Physically, strength wise, even technique wise, athletically, this group is not overmatched by anyone really that they play. It's just simply a matter of them executing on a consistent basis, being schemed for correctly on a consistent basis, and that goes back to Keith Butler. It goes back to players defending their gaps and doing their jobs rather than trying to cheat and do someone else's. And so I think that was the biggest thing in this game. They just trusted each other and played well from that perspective. And obviously the Chiefs got away from the run probably too much, I think, in this game. I think they needed to rely on Hunt even. I mean, the game was never really that far out of reach. I thought they went to panic mode a little bit and got away from Kareem Hunt too much in the running game. He was still impactful in the passing game, but I thought that if they had kept the ball on the ground, they would have had a better chance to come back in this game. And the Steelers defense still did some good things. I don't want to make it sound like they didn't, and the Chiefs just made the mistakes and should have done other things, and they could have been successful, because this was the Steelers for three quarters played at a really high level. Then things really fell apart in the fourth quarter. They got lucky. I think that's going to happen, though, at the same time. You know, the Chiefs are going to take advantage of you. It's at one point or another. Steelers had to have known that and been more aggressive on offense, I thought, on those fourth down situations from inside Chiefs territory. And better execution. They needed to finish on offense. They needed to get more points on the board and put the Chiefs away while they had the opportunity to. They didn't. And like I said, they were definitely lucky in the fourth quarter that things didn't go downhill because they could have. And Artie Burns was a big reason why they could have. I've said this all along in the podcast. I've said this in my articles for Steel City Insider over at scout.com. I've said this on Twitter. Artie Burns continues to be in to blow spots in games where he could be taken advantage of deep. And the Chiefs found it, and they got him with it. They got him twice with it as the game went on. They got him once with it, and the second time they should have gotten him with it, it was when they missed the wide open receiver in the end zone. I think it was DeMarcus Robinson. For what should have been a touchdown as well. I think that's still a concern. Joe Hayden's played really well. Obviously, at some point, his speed probably gets exposed once or twice, but maybe it's next week against Cincinnati. That's going to be a tough matchup. He'll see a good bit of AJ Green, I'm sure. But Mike Hilton's played at a high level, and the rest of the secondary, Sean Davis said his ups and downs. This was his best game of the season for sure, I thought. Mike Mitchell's a stud, but I think Artie Burns is still like the biggest. You should never know what you're getting from him. Makes a couple good plays on the ball in the first half, falls asleep completely in the second half. I mean, falls asleep completely in the fourth quarter. He should have been the GOAT of this game. I don't know what he's thinking or what he's doing on the field. He's like one of the most bizarre and puzzling players to watch. Like, he just falls asleep. I don't know how else to put it. It's coach speak in some ways, but you know, it's a lack of concentration. It's a lack of focus. That's what it is. And they need him to be dialed in more consistently than what he is right now. And so while there's positives, you have to bring up the negatives. You have to talk about them because they need to be fixed moving forward. At the same time, man, this team continues to eliminate Travis Kelce. They continue to eliminate Tyreek Hill. They've been great against those two when they've had matchups and when they've played. And that's been huge. They're shutting down the Chiefs. The other thing that the Steelers did really well was there was consistent pressure in this game. Alex Smith was not really comfortable or settled in. That's something other teams hadn't done well. Not only had they not gotten great pressure, they hadn't contained the pocket well. The Steelers had a couple little contained breakdowns late in the game. Early in the game, I thought they contained the pocket really well. The big missed opportunity where I think this game could have, if they had finished on the should have been sacked to Alex Smith, that he got the ball to Kareem Hunt, and Kareem Hunt went down the field. And I know that the Steelers, I think that was the drive that they stood strong on, but I thought that would have just been demoralizing for the Chiefs offensively to be able to get that sack there, because get another shot in on Alex Smith, because, you know, and I know Mike Mitchell did, and we'll talk about that too, but I thought that was a big part in the game. Okay, so two things I wanted to go back and talk about. We got to talk about the Mike Mitchell hit because I have some thoughts on it. We have to talk about the situation where they threw the ball on third and two from empty. Okay, so it's third and two. You're having a ton of success against the Chiefs. Probably need to keep it on the ground. Keeping it on the ground at some point probably is beneficial to you. Continue to run clock. But at the same time, I'm okay with throwing the ball. Don't go from empty and give no illusion that you'll even run the ball to hold linebackers or hold defenders in any way. I mean, the defensive backs are going to have to defend the line of scrimmage if you do opt to run the ball. Take a chance, get somebody peeking in the backfield, whether you go play action, whatever it might be. I mean, to throw, and I know they like the wheel route to Antonio Brown against the Chiefs' nickel corner, Philip Gaines, but the window wasn't there. Ben threw it right to the corner. Should have been an interception. Probably should have turned the tides of the game. Gaines drops it, goes off his hands, deflected up in the air. Antonio Brown makes an amazing one-handed catch while avoiding the safety. Takes it the rest of the way for a touchdown. Steelers got lucky, and Antonio Brown was amazing. Both can be true on that play. Ben made a poor decision. I thought it was a poor route combination in this situation. I thought that didn't play to the down and distance well, didn't play to the strengths of the team this season. If they've not been good taking vertical shots down the field. It was a bad play call. It was bad to go from empty, and it was just bad all the way around. You know, it was the kind of play that if Gaines had just made the simple catch for Kansas City, we'd be talking about it probably as what in the world was Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger thinking on this play, because it was a terrible call. It was a terrible decision by Ben, and it worked out. And you like when it works out. So there's the concerns. You have to address it. You have to talk about it, because to me, it was easily true. You know, other people may have other opinions, but at the very least, it's a terrible decision by Ben to make that throw, let alone I don't get going from empty in third and two in that situation, the way you've run the ball. It just makes no sense to me. At least give the illusion of the possibility of running the football. And they didn't, and allowed the Chiefs to empty out and get more men in coverage, and I don't get it. I thought protection was very good throughout the game, however. I should note that, especially with Chris Hubbard in there. We didn't hear Justin Houston's name at all, which is really surprising to me. He had four tackles in the game, I believe, but that was – I didn't really notice him. The other thing that we need to talk about is the Mike Mitchell hit. So when I first watched, I didn't see the hit live, obviously, because he was off screen. And then when the replay happened, I thought he dove at the back of Smith's legs. And I don't know. I mean, Mike, if you're listening to this podcast, you're either one of the Steelers fans that hates Mike Mitchell because he wasn't good his first year here and because you dislike physical football or something like that. I don't know. I don't really understand why Steelers fans hate Mike Mitchell. I do why other fans hate Mike Mitchell, because he taunts, you know, he's in people's faces. He's very aggressive. He's physical. He's had some dirty plays in the past. He's very much cleaned up his game over the past couple of years, but that narrative tends to stick with guys. You know, it does. Fans have those kind of memories, and especially fans of other teams. The Steelers are pretty much a hated team anyway. Ian Mitchell's cleaned up his game. Like I said, he's definitely not a dirty player. I've never seen him that way. That is probably going to be out there surrounding him as long as he plays in the league. Like I said, other teams, other media members, they don't like the Steelers. That narrative is going to be out there about Mike Mitchell. I think he knows that. I think that's one of the reasons he doesn't love talking to the media at all times. What's really kind of depressing is the fact that Steelers media has not ever really had his back. And I think that needs to change because he has clearly changed the way that he plays the game. Having said that, in this game, that hit, when I saw it on the replay, I was like, what is he even doing? Like, not only is it a does it look like a dirty play? It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, Smith's taken three steps. Mitchell's taken three steps. I mean, there was just, it was just a completely lose your head cheap shot when you're down in a game. You know, something a player does when they're really angry. And that's never been, even when Mitchell's done things that people have considered dirty, it's always been like heat of the moment, you know, bang, bang plays. You know, he got a guy in there, it's defenseless receiver, or he, you know, helmet to helmet or whatever, something like that. That's what people have said. Never something like this, like a malicious, you know, dive at a player's leg after. It's never been his MO. If anyone has an example of anything like that, that you, because I think there's a fine line between an illegal hit or something like that in a game and being dirty. No player thinks about being dirty on a bang bang play, and you know, in hitting a guy, you know, like that. They're just thinking about sending a big shot, breaking up a pass, you know, forcing an incompletion, something like that. No one's thinking, oh, I'm out to get this guy in the middle of a play like that develops, you know, like that. It's just not, that's not how it works. And I know people see it, that people, fans think of it that way, but it's totally unrealistic. Anyone who's ever played the game or coached the game knows it's just, it's totally ridiculous to think that way. But having said that, you know, there is a total difference between that and, you know, something that's either premeditated or thought about. You know, the play goes away from, they take a couple steps. You know, that's the situation where a dirty play like that could happen, but I've never seen it from Mike Mitchell. I don't know if somebody has an example of a play that I'm forgetting about in his career where something happened late or way away from the play where he tried to injure a player or something like that. That is dirty to me. That's totally different to me than unnecessary roughness penalty or something like that. I've never seen that from Mike Mitchell. This was the first time I ever saw something like that. The camera angle is obviously not good. You have to see through a couple other players. The only one we've seen so far. I'm excited for all 22 to come out. Maybe we get another angle of it. I'm not sure. Maybe another broadcast angle that I missed originally. Maybe somebody finds another angle and puts it out on social media. He clearly gets pushed by Anthony Ciccolo from behind. I have no idea how hard that push was or if that's what propelled him into Smith. You can see Mitchell as he's running forward, you can see his eyes start to come up and his body start to relax as if he's just about to, you know, watch the play and gear down. And then he gets pushed from behind. So maybe mid push, he's kind of like, oh, you know, I could knock, you know, the quarterback out or something. Maybe it wasn't that strong of a push and he used the push to kind of sell it. But it looks like he, and for all intents and purposes, has given up on chasing Smith and he's about to look down the field. And then he gets pushed from behind. So I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt for now. It definitely, I understand why it doesn't look good. I understand people are already going to see it the way they're going to see it. You could come out with an angle that clearly shows Ciccolo shove him with two hands and trip him. And, you know, people are never going to let it go. I get that. But for you Steelers fans who care about reality with me, I'm just going to, you know, avoid talking about it for now in detail and condemning Mitchell, because I think it is a suspendable play if indeed he didn't get pushed, and hoping that another angle shows us something, because obviously you don't want to have him suspended for the Bengals game, but also you'd hate to see him, you know, kind of regress, because he's done such a good job of playing a cleaner, you know, brand of football. And I just would hate to see this hit kind of go in the wrong direction for him, because, and stir that narrative back up, because he's really not given it a ton of reason. I mean, people have to reach for things to kind of find ways to kind of condemn Mike Mitchell, and they like to put him in, try and put him in the same category as Vontaze Perfect, which is ridiculous, but that's what people are going to do with Steelers players. And so I think that you'd hate to see that happen. And so I just hope that, you know, another angle kind of reveals something, gives some clarity to the situation before we rush to condemn him. So those are kind of my thoughts on the game. I'll have all 22 thoughts later in the week, and then we'll look ahead to that Cincinnati game. That's going to be a good one. Very important game for Pittsburgh to get to 3-0 in the division, to establish dominance at home again, where they've typically had a lot of success against Cincinnati. Lost a couple years ago there, but Steelers have had a good run against Cincinnati here of late. And so to continue that would be really good, especially against the Bengals offense that struggled. Bengals coming off two wins. I know it's not against good teams, but they're trying to right the ship a little bit. But they've got issues in pass protection that I think could be their undoing. So we'll look at a lot of different things to preview that game coming up. But for now, thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate it. And we'll catch you again next time again on Locked On Steelers. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag. But most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. at participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.